And let's turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. I don't know about you, but I'm sure can't wait to get this election over. Amen.
Amen.
Man, oh boy. I wanted to give to you a message this morning called the world is coming to judgment. The world is coming to judgment. We are living in a world full of false religion and false prophets and teachers, an age of shady world leaders and politicians and all the spins and the lies that we see out there. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of it. Tell the truth, amen. It's a treacherous world we live in, where lying and cheating and murder and immorality and drugs and drunkenness are norms. They're the norm. Our planet is of so volatile that who knows what is going to be next. I was watching the baseball game the other day, go Detroit, and the news flashed on the bottom of the TV screen. Constantly there's something going on. Get your attention, you know, news flash. And you know what? I don't even read it anymore. I don't even read it anymore. Just, it's always there. So it's just kind of like we get so burned out, used to it, so we just leave it go. This world has never been such an onslaught of cultism and ism and shakers and fakers that are unbelievable. We are so indoctrinated by the wildest things men are doing. Men are now coming up with dreams. I mean, weird, crazy thing, bizarre, strange thing. Things are unearthly. Things are unhealthy, unnatural things, outlandish, just plain weird. I was in the sheriff's office the other day, and they were telling me about these kids now that are smoking bath soap. And it's terrible. It's unbelievable. And the federal government just immediately put out and said, hey, you know, this stuff, you're going to federal prison. You take this stuff. But kids are getting it and they're smoking it and they're injecting it. And you just wondering, hey, what's going on here? What's going on? I mean, I thought bath soap was something you soaked in. That's what my mama used to do, amen. You know, instead of smoking it and unbelievable things, just unbelievable things. These methamphetamines that they're taking out, made out of stuff to clean your toilet with, amen. Come on now. It's unbelievable. Ruin them, people. And I want you to listen to what the Holy Spirit had to say over in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent who is called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world, and he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. You wonder why we're having so much trouble. They're here, whether you like it or not. Satan is on earth. He's here to destroy us. He's here to do everything he can to ruin our little girls and our little boys and ruin our children, ruin our teenagers, doing everything he can to ruin our young couple and their marriages, doing everything he can to destroy what is sane, and they're telling us it's not sane. They're telling us that a happy marriage cannot be. Paul the Apostle wrote to young Timothy, the preacher boy, over 2,000 years ago. And listen to what he said. For the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Church, there are people today that don't want to go to church like this because we tell you the truth. They don't want to be told the truth. They want to live in, they want to live in the land of Oz and think that everything is okay and hunky-dory. It's not okay and hunky-dory. Therefore, what is happening today should not surprise us. This should not surprise us, the things that are going through. We shouldn't be surprised. As Christians, read your Bible, shouldn't be surprised. When we see the things mounting up, We should rejoice and realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon. We ought to be so tickled and happy that Jesus is coming soon. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Wait for the Son of Heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. 2 Thessalonians 3:5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience waiting for Christ. I hear a lot of people mumbling and grumbling. I hear a lot of people just being so upset about what's happening in the world. You ought to be so excited what's happening in the world. You ought to be so excited and say, you know what, Jesus is going to come. By the way, I found it a lot easier for me to witness to people today because they're wondering what in the world's going on in this world. I told a man a while back. He said, boy, preacher, he says, things got to get better. And I looked him straight in the face. I said, sir, things are not going to get better. Things are going to get worse before Jesus comes. He says, what? He said, it can't get any worse. He told me that about 4 years ago. I'm telling you, things are worse today. Yes. But to the Christian, we rejoice and we say, hey, you know what? Hey, it's okay. I don't mean being stupid about it. I don't mean being ignorant about it. But we should be ones who are prayed up and read up and say, you know what? I'm fed up with the world and I can't wait to get to heaven. Amen. Amen. What does the Bible say in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a man of some is. Do I have to explain that to you? Quit skipping church. That's all it means. But exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. What day? The day of Christ coming back. Hallelujah, glory to God. I mean, I like what John wrote. He said, even so, Lord, come quickly. Amen. He said in verse 37, for yet a little while, and he shall come, will come, and will not tarry. No, he's not going to hold up. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, watch, and pray. Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. And he which testified these things saith, surely I come quickly. Even so come, Lord Jesus. James chapter 5, verse 8. Be ye there also patient. Establish your heart. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Again, when we hear leaders in front of world cameras telling bold-faced lies, spinning things of untruth over and over again, blinding mankind of the truth, they will believe the lie and question the truth. It is amazing how things are going today. What is with this? Trouble is, many people have told it so many times that they begin to believe it. Jesus warned the world in Luke chapter 21 and verse 8, take heed that ye be not deceived. Listen now, don't be deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 11 verse 16, take heed to yourself, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Let me give you a brief history. I think it'll give you some peace of mind during this very trying days on planet Earth we live in. First of all, even before the earth was spoken into existence, the devil and one-third of the host of heaven rebelled against the holy God of heaven. By the way, God did not allow this to continue. And he spared not the angels, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2. Here is one of God's law. God will not put up with insubordination. Simple as that. God won't put up with it. Satan wanted to have the preeminence in heaven, and God said, that's enough. You're out of here. And cast him out of heaven. He will not accept rebellion. Psalm 103, verse 9. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Some of us are seeing the things that are happening today in this world, and we're upset because of what people are doing. Who ever heard of such calamity over in Jerusalem? This is the trouble they're having over there. I mean, it used to be bad, but it's worse now. And it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. Hey, I just want to tell you something. You know what? God will not retire. He will not keep His anger forever. One of these days, they're going to, the Arabs over there, they're going to push it. And God's going to say, okay, that's enough. And bless God, we're going to hear a trumpet. And the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ arise, and we which remain shall be caught up, will ever be with the Lord. And then there's going to be a 7-year tribulation period. And after the 7-year tribulation period, there's going to be, God is just going to take care of things. And then we'll have a millennium. And this whole world is going to be just like the Garden of Eden, the whole thing. Amen. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad about that? Well, praise the Lord. Hey, listen, man is now coming up with these crazy dreams that we just can't understand. We just can't figure them out. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a God in heaven that said, I'm going to take care of things. And first of all, He did not spare the angels. He damned them forever. Jude chapter 1, verse 6. And the angel which kept not the first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains. There you go, buddy. In everlasting chains, under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. I'm telling you, Brooke, folks, God will not put up with it. And that's an encouragement to me and to you. Say, you know what? Hey, God is keeping score. And God's taking care of this stuff. Oh, yeah, we're going to go through tribulation. Every Christian's going to go through tribulation. I knew about that. It's just teaching us, just training us. Like Brother Rudy said, we're just going around about, amen, checking things out, going here and going there, making us better, amen, taking the test, amen. God not only did not spare the angels, but He did not spare Adam and Eve's rebellion. And you go there in Genesis, and God created mankind a perfect place to live. Unfortunately, man was unwilling to enjoy the food that God had intended him to eat. When God made man, He placed him in the garden. God never wants man to be in the dark concerning his spiritual condition. Never. He'll tell you, this is what I want. Now, there's some people that are ignorant. They're simple because they will not read their Bible, will not find out what God tells them that they ought to be doing, what they should not be doing. But God won't put up with it. God made a place for man and man. Garden said, in essence, look at all these trees that you can eat. They're all yours. I only want one of these trees in the garden. It's mine. It's truly knowledge of good and evil. If you eat of that tree, you will surely die. So mankind, because of the lust of his flesh and the lust of his eyes and the pride of life, rebellion stepped in. Adam and Eve ended up eating the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Genesis chapter 5, verse 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the law, the lust of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. But chiefly, them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, for they are not afraid to speak evil of dignity. There's a lot of people that are just presumptuous. They're not afraid. They're self-willed. They just do what they want to do. The old saying, we heard on the advertisement, have it your way. Well, the world says, I want it my way, I'll do it my way, and ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. I think some of you realize that the Bible talks about that sin is embedded in all men. All of us are sin. Even a little child is a sinner. Just tell a child to do something. What's the first thing they're going to say? No! And you go. I remember the first time my boy said that. I couldn't believe it. He's getting a little older, one and a half, two, and I said something to him. He said, no! I looked at my wife, I looked at him, I looked at my wife, I looked at him, I looked at my wife, I looked at him, I looked at God and said, what in the world did you give me here? No! I said, what? No! I said, you got to go to bed. No! You got to eat your vegetables. No! You got to take your nap. No! And you're teaching your child, yes, 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 yes. And then they get about teenagers and tell them, no! Say no! And they say, yes, no, say no! It's a mixed up world, folks, I'm telling you. Amen. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, if I was you, I'd mark that in my Bible. I'd mark it down. I'd put it in the back leaf of my Bible. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And as God promised, He drove them out of the Garden of Eden, and they lost everything they had. They lost their home. They lost their sinness. They lost their fellowship with the Holy God. They lost the sweetness of childbearing. They lost the pleasure of work, and it became the sweat of the brow and the weeds and the thistles. And finally, they lost their lives. And they went back to ashes and dust to dust. Because of what? Because they did not do what God told them to do. I don't understand it, but it seems like the people don't think the Bible really tells the truth. I heard a fellow tell me the other day, he said, no, he said, I don't know about that. And I said, well, listen, I just want to tell you about the Ten Commandments. They're commands, not suggestions. The Ten Commandments, thou shalt not. So God did not spare the angels who went against God. God did not spare Adam and Eve. And number three, God did not spare the world. He destroyed the world with a worldwide deluge called the flood. You can go up in Glacier, you can go down to Yellowstone, you can see all over these wonderful mountains in Montana how the terra firma has folded. That's the terra firma is what you walk on the earth. And how there's folds like this. There's only one way that can happen, amen. I've got some magnificent fossils from up in Mount Everest. How in the world can way up thousands and thousands of feet above the water have these sea creatures that are fossiled up there? I'm sure some Gurkha didn't go trekking those things clear up there. And what else? What do they call them things, guys, that climb the mountain's surface? Yeah. They didn't carry them by the bushel load up there, amen. They just happened to be there. Funniest thing. I love Mount Everest in the tongue of the native is Sagarmatra, which means out of the ocean. Isn't that amazing? This great deluge. Mankind are going against God. And God destroyed the whole world population with that great deluge, Noah's flood, that destroyed all the breathing animals. Secondly, when it was all over, it caused all the animals to fear man. It caused man to live by a far season. God initiated. You can thank Noah for that, amen. You guys want warm weather, that's the problem, amen. And God initially changed the whole environment of the planet Earth and world. Without the help of a vice president. Rain would now fall instead of God's unique irrigation, which came from below. Glaciers began to form, dredge the earth, cutting great fjords, valleys, and mountains into shapes. Snow began to fall. Kind of interesting. You know the Square Butte out here? You all know the Square Butte out by the Air Force Base? I mean, out by the airport? I've read some different interesting things. They believe that the top of that is the normal height of the world before the flood. And that when the water receded the glaciers and all that came down, that stayed up for some unknown reason. That's why we have buttes out here. That was one theory I think is very interesting. So God destroyed the world again. And then God spared not Babel. In Genesis chapter 11, Man felt that he could get to God in his own way. Man thought because of his great ingenuity, he was greater and wiser than God, and God could do, and they could do anything they wanted to do. God judged them and caused a great division, confusion, Babel. They sinned in sin of self-sufficiency, and God confused them and giving them many different languages so that they were no more had one tongue to speak to run everything. God spared not Sodom and Gomorrah. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. Notice he made them an example. Take your Bible there and you look, as you read today in 2 Peter there, and it talks about he made an example for us. It's something that we ought to take heed of. Verse 6, chapter 2, verse 6. Turning the city of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. God said, hey, you want to commit the sin of sodomy? He said, I just want you to know, go back to the Bible, and I'm going to tell you something. This is what happened to them, and this is what's going to happen to you. Amen. Being an example. By the way, please don't send me an email and faxes and even stop me and tell me some off-colored joke about some perverted lifestyle. I'm not going to laugh about it. I'll be embarrassed and probably embarrass you. You say, you must be one of them homophobics. No, I don't hate people. I hate their practice. I despise their sin. I have a biblical reason not to listen nor to read about it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. Good idea to write that in the back of your Bible. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be named once among you as become a saint. Let me read that one more time, help you out a little bit. This is a teaching time, amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named among you as become a saint. God says, that ain't funny to make funny of. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. Verse 12. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Ephesians 5, 12. What does Matthew chapter 5, verse 19 say? For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without his body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 2, for the man shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient of parents, unthankful, unholy. An incredible thing. These are written a few years ago, amen? Over 2,000 years ago, yet still pretty clear, isn't it? 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 14, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and the heart that have exercised with covetous practice cursed children. You Christians beware, just Lot was vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked dwelling amongst them seeing and hearing. Are we living in that age today? Yeah, we are. So what does he tell us? He tells us, beware. You look out. Hey, there's certain things in your life. Hey, there's certain things in your life you've got to watch out for. You've got to be very careful. By the way, God spared not Achan and his family. Achan saw, and he took, and he hid. And God spared not the 450 prophets of Baal in 1 Kings chapter 18. Didn't spare them. Had them killed. And my friend, God will not spare this world that we live in today. A lot of people take these things lightly. But God is so, so, so righteous. And there are so many things that go on in our lives that it should just boil you. It should just upset you in such a great way and say, what in the world is going on in this life? Or, quote, what is going on in my life? Why am I so easy to go with that filth and the junk of this world? We're chained. We really are. We're just chained in. Let me tell you something. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You do not have to live that kind of life in this kind of world. You can live a life that's separated from God. Separated from the ungodly. And separated to God. God will not spare this world live together. I heard a passionate preacher once say, if God does not damn and destroy America with all its sexual perversion and its dope and its booze and its hatred and rebellion and violence and obscenity and perverted sex and whoremonger and killing and child molestation and killing babies and beastly, he owes an apology to Sodom and Gomorrah. By the way, my God don't apologize. My God is merciful. And my God gives grace. And so does yours. But he will not always chide. And the people that make fun and laugh at this world and laugh at the Christians and tease and poke fun at, one of these days, we will be in the arms of Jesus. You say, preacher, I'm so afraid. You don't have to be afraid of nothing. Is God in control? Does God love you? Does God supply your needs? Does God answer your prayer? Is God there for you? A million times yes. It's amazing what things go on in our lives. But when you know the Creator of life, and this world and this universe says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. My promises are clear. I will not let anything happen to you you cannot withstand, or I will provide a way of an escape. I always ask this question. When a teenager comes to me and says, preacher, this is what I did, and they're so sorry for it, I said, I want to ask you a question. When this was starting, when you knew that things were going downhill, could have you got out of it? Inevitably, they say, well, yes, but I didn't want to get embarrassed. God said, I will provide a way of escape. Everything I've ever done that is ever wrong, I promise you, there were times that I could have said, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, whoa, 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 whoa. You know that's the truth. That's Bible. You think about cheating? Well, you thought about it. That means there are times that, no, I'm not going to cheat. I'd rather flunk and be called honest than cheat and be called dishonest. Things happen in my life, things that I shouldn't have been at, and all of a sudden there's a way to get out of it and say, well, I don't want to get embarrassed. And what will people think? What are my friends going to think? Oh, my, I wish I would have said, hey, let me out of the car. No, I'm not going to that party. No, I'm not going to be around those kind of people. God has given us an escape route. Listen to the scripture. Joseph. Potiphar's wife. He made a big mistake. Nobody was in the room with her. And she grabbed him. And said, lay with me. He said, are you out of your mind? I am a slave. Look at what your husband has given me. Everything is mine. She said, come on. She said, no. And what did he do? He ran. He lost his coat, but he did not lose his honor. He said, but he went to jail. God took care of that. Yep. 2 years later, he's next to the king. He's next to the Pharaoh. What if he would have committed adultery with that woman? He would have lost his life. You would have never heard about him. Jesus had never been saved. I mean, Jesus would have never been born on this earth. On and on and on and on and on. Fact, ladies, what if Mary would have not been a virgin? Oh, it's all through the Bible. I'm going to tell you something. Yeah, we live in a wicked world. We live in a world that is so polluted. And I'm not talking about Al Gore pollution. I'm talking about filthy, immorality, drugs, incest, the whole works. I'm talking about that. Yes, we are living in that. You want drugs? I just found out the other day, I was out doing some yard work and I smelled marijuana. I went, there's a certain smell of the plant of marijuana. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Shame on you, but you know what I'm talking about. And there's just a smell. And I, hey, what in the world is that stuff going around my house for, right? My next door neighbor had just opened up his canopy of his growing deal and there were a bunch of buds. And I'm not talking the drinking beer stuff either. And I'm going, what in the world is that? And I got a little closer and I thought, whoa! Right next to my house. Police officer lives right next to him. I live right across the lot from him. We're living a crazy world. You want smoke? You can have smoke. You can have anything you want. You want to get ruined? You want to ruin your life for the rest of your life? Pretty simple. Well, I work in the military. I'll never get in trouble with that. Oh, yeah? I meet them every week on Tuesday. And they tell me where they get it. Right there. You can go to your high school and get it right there. Can't you? No. Very simple. Let me tell you something, Christian, you listen to me. But you don't have to live like that. Amen. And there's a day coming when you are going to be exonerated. There's a day coming when your honor is going to be honored. There's a day coming when your separation is going to be blessed. And God said, well done, my good and faithful servant. Stay with it. Stay with it. Don't back up. Don't ease up. Do what you're supposed to do. Act like you're supposed to do. Be what you're supposed to be as a Christian. I'm going to tell you something. Anybody, any fool can go against the principles of God's Word. It takes real character. It takes a man to have honor. It takes a woman to be a virgin. It takes a lot. In this world, it's rugged out there. And you better be careful. And you better have your people around you that can encourage you and to be able to be there for you when you're down. Have you ever been down? Have you ever been discouraged? Have you ever been taught to the point, well, what's the use? Hello, everybody's been there, amen. But if you got a friend, you got someone you can call. I got a friend, his name is Jesus. He sticketh closer to me than a brother. I found out something about Jesus. He doesn't tell things that I tell him. He doesn't go around blabbing his mouth off. He takes care of me. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us today. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd just